If you'd like to turn in your Bible to two references, John chapter 21 and then 1 Peter chapter 5. John chapter 21, reading from verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now please over to 1 Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would grant to us the understanding of your word. I pray that you would give us all a fresh perspective of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning I am preaching to Pastor Brendan, and you all get to listen in. It is customary at an ordination service to give a charge to the man who is being ordained. Normally this involves impressing upon the candidate his responsibilities as a minister of the gospel and the seriousness of those responsibilities. There is usually a mixture of instruction, encouragement, and warning. The responsibilities of a pastor are summarized by the Apostle Peter here in his instructions to elders. In chapter 5, verse 2, all of a pastor's ministerial duties are encapsulated in a single imperative. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, the flock of God are the people who belong to God, are Christians. This is the church. The Greek word translated feed is the verb form of the word for shepherd. Literally, the word means to tend as a shepherd. And so we have the flock of God and we have those charged with shepherding them. If we think about what a shepherd does for a flock of sheep, we have all of the things that a pastor is supposed to do for the people of God. He feeds them spiritual food. He leads them. He protects them. He cares for those who are weak and suffering. He takes action when sheep wander away into danger. It's a beautiful picture. Now, Peter refers to this as taking the oversight. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. This is one word in Greek, episkopeo. The noun form is episkopos, which translated into English is the word bishop. A pastor is a bishop, an overseer. He watches over the people of God. He cares for them. They have been committed to his trust by the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his calling. This is his life's work. Now, Brendan, we know that you understand this. And we are confident that with God's help, you can do this. You've already been shepherding this little section of God's flock. You've already been taking care of us. We've just publicly affirmed that God has gifted and called you to exercise this ministry. Furthermore, in line with what Peter says here in verse 2, we know that you have entered into this ministry willingly. No one has constrained you. No one has twisted your arm. You've chosen of your own volition to follow God's call. We also know that you're not pursuing pastoral ministry for money. Peter talks about filthy lucre in this text. We are confident that this is not what motivates you. If you were driven by financial gain, you wouldn't be dedicating your life to this. In fact, we know you've sacrificed financially to exercise this ministry. As it says here in verse 3, we hope you will be a humble leader wherever you serve and not be a lord over God's heritage. You've certainly given us no reason to believe that this is what you will become. But there is authority that comes with the office, and with all authority comes temptation. And so let me warn you against becoming proud, against developing a sense of entitlement. Don't be domineering. Don't be a bully. Treat everyone you shepherd with meekness and grace. Be known for your gentleness and be an example. Lead by example. And verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. As I've already said, we have every reason to believe that you can, with God's help, be a shepherd to his people. But the question is, how are you going to continue to do this? What is going to sustain you as a minister of the gospel over the long term? Now, there is great joy in pastoral ministry. It's an immense privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ week after week after week and to watch for the souls of his people. There are moments of glory. There are moments of deep connection with people. It is an honour to walk with God's people through the highs and lows of the human experience. I wouldn't want to do anything else. And I know you, Brendan, feel exactly the same way. But this calling is not without its challenges. In truth, the scriptures tell us that it is a very difficult task. When we read about those who were shepherds to God's people, men like Moses and David, Peter and Paul, we see that there was much hardship involved. There was no small measure of suffering. There was opposition from without and opposition from within. There was frustration and weariness, disappointment and even loneliness. At one key moment in his ministry, Paul said, "All men forsook me." Paul acknowledged the challenges of pastoral ministry when he said to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So Brendan, how are you going to endure hardness? How are you going to remain faithful? How are you going to turn up week by week, month after month, year after year, and preach God's word and care for God's people, come what may? What is it that will sustain you? Well, the answer is found in our first reading from the Gospel of John. And when Peter wrote these words in his first epistle, he was simply passing on to others the charge that had been committed to him, the charge he had received from Christ himself. So if you would please go back to John chapter 21. And this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. The resurrected Lord Jesus revealed himself to his disciples and restored the man who had fallen the furthest and the hardest. Now, Peter had been the first and the loudest in affirming his loyalty to Jesus, but when the moment of truth arrived, he ended up denying Jesus in rather spectacular fashion. I'm not going to go into detail this morning explaining the interaction between Jesus and Peter. Now, we recognise the parallel between Peter's three denials and Jesus asking him this question three times. There is perhaps some nuance of meaning in Jesus' choice of words. There's a couple of different Greek words translated love and a couple of different words translated feed, and I'll leave all of that for another day. For now, notice that Jesus gave Peter the same imperative that Peter gave to church leaders. Feed or shepherd my sheep. Be a pastor to my people. It's there in verses 15, 16 and 17. But here's the point. Before giving Peter this charge, what did Jesus say? "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" "Peter, do you love me?" And there was a lot going on when Jesus asked Peter this question, and of course it went back to Peter's denial. Jesus was dealing with Peter's heart. Jesus was giving him an opportunity to reaffirm what by his words and actions he had just denied. Jesus hadn't given up on Peter. And again, that's a whole other sermon. For today, please pay careful attention to the order of things here. Peter confesses his love for Jesus, and then Jesus gives him his commission. The two go together, and one comes first. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I do." "Well, okay then, go and shepherd my people." Caring for God's flock was the outflow and the expression of his love for Jesus. Because he loved Jesus, he was to fulfill that ministry. And Brendan, this is it. This is what will motivate you and sustain you through the hard times that are bound to come: your love for Christ. If you love Jesus, you will persevere. Whatever happens. There may be seasons where you find it hard to love his people, but if you love him, you won't give up. You remain faithful to your calling. In those difficult moments, you might imagine Jesus saying, "Brendan, do you love me?" And you will say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Well, okay then, feed my sheep." Now, John Calvin was a faithful pastor in the city of Geneva. And this is what he wrote in his commentary on John chapter 21, verse 15. This was written around the year 1555. By these words, Christ means that no man can faithfully serve the church and employ himself in feeding the flock if he do not look higher than to men. The office of feeding is in itself laborious and troublesome, since nothing is more difficult than to keep men under the yoke of God, among whom there are many who are weak, others who are wanton and unsteady, others who are dull and sluggish, and others who are slow and unteachable. Satan now brings forward as many causes of offence as he can, that he may destroy or weaken the courage of a good pastor. In addition to this, we must take into account the ingratitude of many and other causes of disgust. No man, therefore, will steadily persevere in the discharge of this office unless the love of Christ shall reign in his heart, in such a manner that, forgetful of himself and devoting himself entirely to Christ, he overcomes every obstacle. The key is your love for Jesus. That will make all the difference. That is what will sustain you for all the years of ministry that God has for you. But perhaps you're thinking, like many of us do, my love for Jesus isn't always strong. It waxes and it wanes. How can I love him enough? And besides, aren't you just bringing this all back to me? Aren't you putting all the pressure on me? And it's my love for him that will sustain me in my ministry. Why did Peter love Jesus? Think about that. Why did Peter love Jesus? It was because he knew Jesus loved him. And right here in this story was yet another demonstration of that love. Jesus came to him, to where he was. Jesus prepared him a meal. Jesus tenderly ministered to his broken heart. Jesus hadn't given up on him. Why do any of us love Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Brendan, it is your love for Christ that will keep you faithful. But your love for Christ is only the response to his love for you. And so ultimately, it is your sense of his love, your knowledge of his love, your experience of his love that will get you through. And so, as Jude says in verse 21 of his little letter, keep yourself in the love of God. You will need to drink daily and deeply of God's love in Christ, for then and only then will you love him enough to persevere. Now, why did Peter and Paul and all the other apostles devote their lives to serving Jesus? Why did they go even to death for his sake? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us why. Please turn over there, and this is where we'll finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Speaking of his ministry, Paul says this in verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And there it is. Jesus' love for Paul. Paul was constrained by it. That is, it pushed in on him and impelled him forward. It motivated him in the ministry. It drove him forward day by day by day. Jesus loves me, this I know. That was it. He loves me. And that's why I do this. That's why I stick with this ministry. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. That's what Paul was saying here. Jesus died so that I might live, and not live for myself, but for the one who died for me. And Brendan, you are an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to teach and admonish, to feed and provide for the Lord's family, to bring the lost into the fold, to bring each person to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Remember always the greatness of your responsibility and give yourself without reservation to the ministry to which God has called you. And if you love Christ above all else, if you live daily in the knowledge of his love for you, then you will be faithful. God's people will be blessed. His kingdom will advance, and his name will be glorified. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you always. Amen.